So by now, you already know how to identify the alpha, and you should be able to do so in about a minute or less of entering a group. Just remember to look for those alpha traits that we've been talking about. So it's the person who's taking up the most space, the person with the loudest voice, and when they talk, everybody listens, and it's the one who's leading the interaction. If you look for these things, then you will see them. And there's always an alpha, no matter what people tell you. And I've experimented with this, and I've even asked different groups of people who they think the leader is. And they might deny it, but there's one thing that's true, and that is that they all know, deep down, that there's one person who calls the shots more than anyone else in the group. And whoever that person is, then that is the alpha. So by now, you should know the difference between an alpha and a beta. And hopefully, by now, you've identified the alpha in your workplace and the alpha of your social circle. And if it's not you, then by now, you should know who it is. And if you're not really sure who it is, then you just need to watch closely and see who people are reacting to. Because whoever people are reacting to the most, then that is the person with the highest value. And he or she is determined as the alpha. So just look for that person who's getting the most eye contact directed at them. Because when you know what to look for, you'll see it. So next time when somebody who you consider to be a beta is talking amongst a group of people, just take time to pay attention to their eye line, and you begin to notice that they look to the alpha about 60 to 70% of the time. And the rest of the time, their eye line will look to all of the other betas. So just notice who people are looking to the most, and most of the time it will be the alpha. And the reason why people do this is because if they lose the focus of the alpha, then they risk losing the focus of the entire group. So a beta will always look towards the alpha for confirmation. And the thing is, maybe you've never even thought about this concept before, but now I've told you about it, you'll notice who's getting the most eye contact in any social interaction. And I do it too. I'll be having a conversation with a group of people, and then I'll notice when other people are talking who they're directing their focus at. And because of the way that I've positioned myself as the alpha, the majority of the time I'm getting that focus from the betas. And this is exactly what this part of the course is all about, getting you to this place where everybody subconsciously knows that you are the alpha, where everybody knows that you are the controller. And you should look to engineer this kind of situation in any social dynamic that you're part of. So next time you're in a social situation and the current alpha is there, just take a minute and notice that he's sitting there and he's surrounded by everybody else. And if he's the one who's talking and you're facing him and he's not looking at you, then he has more social value than you do. So you want to try and engineer a situation where you're not even facing him in the first place. That way, you're not giving him that value. You're just making yourself on an equal level. And if you can, what you really want to start doing is positioning yourself so that you are the center of attention. So for example, if you go out for a meal and you're choosing where you want to sit at the table, you always want to try and sit somewhere in the middle so that at all times everybody else is directing their focus at you and you won't have a hard time trying to be heard. As well as that, another thing I like to do is I try and seat myself so that my back is always facing the wall. That way I can look out over the whole restaurant and I'm always aware of my surroundings and I always know what's going on. And you need to try and do this because remember, you always want to be thinking more than everybody else. Always 50 moves ahead of your opponent. Alright, so once you've located the current alpha at your work or your social situation, you are going to take over his position at the top and you're going to hijack his authority so you will become the new alpha. So the first thing you need to do, if you haven't already, is you need to befriend the alpha. Now I know sometimes befriending the alpha is not always the easiest thing to do, because if you're not even on the alpha's radar yet, then even getting access to him is not easy. So if you're in a position where you're having a hard time trying to get in with the alpha, then you can use what we call the guilt by association technique. Now what the guilt by association technique focuses on is the fact that you are your reputation, and your reputation is determined by who you hang out with, what you do, and what you stand for. And when you use the guilt by association technique, you can immediately get onto the current alpha's radar, and you can immediately become someone if you're not already. You need to start developing a reputation for yourself. Become known for something. So step one is determine what you want to be known for. What guy do you want to be? So do you want to be known as the guy who has these crazy adventures every weekend? Or do you want to be known as the guy who has amazing parties every month? whatever it is you want, just determine what it is you want to be known for, and then start generating some good buzz by developing a good reputation. Okay, so that's step one. Step two is to eliminate social dead ends. And a social dead end is anyone who automatically lowers your value because you associate yourself with them. So when people see you with this social dead end, they automatically assume that you're the same as them, so it lowers your value. And the thing is, a social dead end can even be someone who is high value, but when you're around them, they're always putting you down. So it ends up making you look lower value. So that's step two. You want to eliminate that person from your life. Eliminate social dead ends. Step number three is to pick your target. And by target, I mean someone who is good friends with the alpha. And by just being associated with that target, you will get on the alpha's radar and it will elevate your status. So for example, let's say that the alpha is out of reach. You know, you can't befriend that guy. He doesn't even know who you are. So then what you want to do is you want to befriend his second in command, his number one beta. And if you have no luck befriending his number one beta, then you want to go for his number two beta. So the point is you want to find a target who's already on the alpha's radar, then befriend them, and that will elevate your status. So let's say I've been able to befriend the alpha's number one beta. So now the alpha will perceive me as being on the same level as that number one beta, and that will put me on the alpha's radar, which is what we're aiming for right now at this point. And then once you're on the alpha's radar and he's seeing you as having equal value to his number one or his number two beta, the next step is to become the alpha's go-to guy. You want to become his best friend. And then after that, what you're going to do is completely take over the alpha and hijack his position as the leader of the group. And one thing I should point out is that as you're becoming the alpha's go-to guy, you want to show the alpha that same kind of respect that he's used to from everybody else. So if everybody else sees this person as the alpha, then most likely they will treat him with a certain amount of respect. And you need to make sure that you're doing the exact same thing. So for example, if you get invited to the alpha's house and he's having a barbecue, then you don't want to go there and try and out-alpha him because you don't want to try and outshine the master. For now, all you're trying to do is make that connection with him so you can become his go-to guy. So right now, you've got to treat him like he's the man, like everybody else does. And on top of that, I want to give you some techniques right now that you can use to become anybody's go-to guy. Okay, the first sneaky technique that I want to share with you is called emotion catching. And the way it works is this. If you want to be liked by someone, then at first, you only want to talk to them when they're in a positive mood or excited about something. And the reason why is because if that person is feeling positive feelings and you're talking to them, then they will subconsciously attach those positive feelings to you. So as an example, let's say it's Friday night, the alpha is in a positive mood and he's excited because he's got a weekend ski trip planned. Then now's the time that you want to head over there and ask him about it. Just get him talking. Get him to tell you where he's going. Get him picturing all the fun he's about to have over the weekend. Get him feeling those positive feelings he's about to have about his ski trip. And then he will subconsciously attach those feelings to you. But with that in mind, you also want to be aware that when you're emotion catching, you don't want to catch any bad emotions and accidentally make the alpha associate you with negative feelings. So for example, if you happen to know that the alpha's dog has just died, then today is the day when you want to be sure you stay clear of him. Okay, you do not want to associate with him when he's in a negative state. Alright, the next technique is to confide in him. Because there's not many things that create a stronger bond between two people than when they confide in one another. And as an example, remember when you were a child and you had that childhood friend and you confide in them and they would confide in you, and then you would just have that immediate trust and that immediate bond. Well, you can use that same principle when you're becoming his go-to guy. If you confide something to him, then he will trust you a lot more. And the thing is, if you can get him to confide in you, and that will make that trust even stronger. Now, obviously, you don't just want to go telling the alpha your biggest secrets, but you can tell them just something you don't mind sharing that you know he'll be interested in. Okay, the next technique I want to tell you about is called the Ben Franklin effect. And the Ben Franklin effect came about when Benjamin Franklin won over a political opponent by asking him to do a favor for him. So the story goes that after Ben Franklin got his political opponent to do a favor for him, They became great friends because the political opponent justified doing the favor by telling himself that he actually liked Ben Franklin. And as a result, he treated him with respect from then on. So if you can get the Alpha to do a favor for you, then in their mind, to rationalize their act of kindness, they will tell themselves that they did you a favor because they like you and you're a friend. And friends don't mind doing favors for friends. So if you can get him to do just a small favor for you, then this will make him feel positive feelings towards you. Now, whatever you do, do not make the mistake of trying to do nice things for him to try and make him like you. Because even though it may make him see you as a nice person, it will not give him those same kind of feelings towards you which you want. So just remember, when he does a favor for you, it increases his good impression of you because it makes him rationalize to himself that he must like you to be treating you this way. So if he offers to do something for you, then you always let him. If he offers you some gum or if he offers to buy you a beer, then you take it. If he offers to lend you a movie or a CD, then you take it. This technique is insanely simple, but it works, and I use it every day in my life. If someone offers you something, then you take it. But on that same note, make sure that you give back. So if the Alpha buys you a beer, then make sure you buy him one back. If he offers you some gum today, then tomorrow you make sure you've got a pack of gum and see if he wants any. So I think you get the idea here, but the main thing to remember is just let the Alpha do things for you, and you need to adopt the mindset that you deserve for things to be done for you. So the next level of the authority hijack is to steal the Alpha's position as the controller of the group. So the first thing I want you to become aware of is how dominant is the current Alpha. Because chances are, he or she is a lot more dominant than you, because that is the number one trait of the Alpha, dominance. And we've already talked about becoming more dominant and leading interactions and leading people. And being the person who says, hey, let's go here for lunch, or hey, come on, let's go out tonight. Well, that's the person you need to be, and that all comes from being dominant. So how can you become more dominant than the Alpha? You need to control the frame. It's as easy as that. So what exactly is frame control? Well, to understand what frame control means, you first need to have an understanding of what I mean by frames. So a frame is the surrounding meaning of any interaction. Now, I know that might sound a little bit confusing, so let me give you a few examples to give you a better understanding of the whole thing. So let's say a woman is sitting by herself in a bar, and a guy comes up and starts asking her some very personal questions. So in that situation, the frame that she has in her mind is that this guy is trying to pick me up. But if that same guy was asking those same questions to that same girl in the context of a job interview, then the frame would be completely different. The frame would be that this guy is interviewing her. So a frame is really what you want the interaction to be about. And if you can control the frame, then you can control anybody's reality. And in any interaction you're in, everybody always tries to impose frames on everybody else. And the strongest frame always wins. So if you can always have the stronger frame in any interaction, then you will control the reality. And that's exactly why people follow a cult leader, for example. Because the leader of the cult has got that stronger frame, so people will buy into that frame, and their weaker frame is absorbed by the stronger frame. So the thing I want you to get here is that there's really no objective reality, and all reality exists within people's minds. So if someone comes up to you, and they try and bust your balls, and you get offended by that, and you get angry, then you end up looking beta, because you've been sucked into that person's frame. But instead, if you reframe what they're doing, is they're trying to bust your balls, but you just see them as nothing, and you see the whole situation as no big deal, and maybe you even find it funny, and you just laugh it off, then they have been sucked into your reality. And you need to use this technique with everything. You, as the Alpha, have the stronger frame, so you can control and lead any interaction, and that is frame control. And with that said, one thing that I want you to understand is that when you truly believe something, then your mind will find evidence to prove to yourself that that belief is true. So once you adopt the mindset that you are the Alpha, that you are the leader, and that you have the stronger frame in any interaction, then your mind will give you evidence to show you that this belief is true. All right, so the next technique we need to go into is social proof. And most likely, the Alpha that you're trying to replace has got social proof down. They've most likely got lots of social proof. So if you're going to replace him as a new leader, then you need to engineer social proof for yourself. And social proof is a massive part of what I do. When I walk into the office or my usual bar, 9 times out of 10, I have around 20 people come up to me and approach me. I do nothing but walk into the room, and for 20 minutes, I stand there and actually have people come up to me and say hi and tell me about their lives. Now, you tell me who the coolest guy in that place is. Anybody who sees me, anybody who's looking over and they see these people interacting with me, they have no doubt who the most alpha person in this room is. So how can you get to this level of social proof? This level of social proof needs to be engineered, and you should always be working on this. The fastest way to build social proof is to have numerous positive interactions with people wherever you go. And you should aim to build strong rapport with people. Anyone you talk to, build really strong rapport and get to know them. So if you're at work eating lunch, then talk to the lady serving your food. If you're in a bar, then talk to the bar staff. If you go to Starbucks, then talk to that girl serving your coffee. Just joke around, have fun, bring value to other people's lives. Just be fun, because the point is, there's not many people out there who don't like fun people. And if you think back to high school, the guy who everybody liked was the guy who was engineering the fun. The girls never liked the smartest guy in school. They liked the guy who makes them have the most fun and the guy who listens to them. And this is one of the biggest tips that I can give you in social dynamics. And that is that you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming genuinely interested in other people than you will in 2 years of trying to make people interested in you. So when you're talking, just find out what people's passions are and then talk about that a lot. Even if you're not contributing to the conversation and they're doing most of the talking, you'll get to the end of the conversation and they will say, wow, that guy was really cool. I really enjoyed talking to that person. And it's because you let them talk about something that they love, because people are dying to talk about their passions. They're dying for the moment where they can talk and get people to listen to them about something they're interested in. And when you do this, you will have many positive interactions with people. And by building this social proof, you will become what we call the social connector. By becoming the social connector, it basically means that wherever you go, anytime, any place, you always have people that you know. So everybody's going to see that. So when I go to bars and clubs, the important people know me. The queue jumps, the free entries, the high fives, the first name terms and the warm handshakes with the bar staff, the free drinks. When people see someone who is genuinely loved by a load of people in a social setting, then that person's value absolutely soars sky high. And this is what we want for you. So you want to make friends with the staff at the bar or the restaurant that you frequent. So how can you make friends with the staff at a bar or a restaurant that you frequent? Well, first of all, you need to choose a venue that you like, and then you need to go there at least once a week, like every Wednesday or every Friday, and then talk to the staff, find out what they're interested in, and use these techniques I'm teaching you to create instant rapport. Demonstrate value. Let people see that you're a high-value person, and then ask the staff their names. So you can just say, hey, I'm Cameron. What's your name, by the way? But obviously, you say your own name. And if you have time, you can demonstrate even more value by teaching the staff how to remember people's names by using one of the techniques in the photographic memory section of this course. So what you're trying to do is have them see you as less of a customer and more as a friend. And if you go to the same place once a week and you always bring value, then people will see you as a high value person who doesn't seem to be taking value from them. And those people want to be around you. And this is where you want to get to. You want to be in a position that wherever you go out, whenever you go out, you always have people you know. And we call that building your army. And what it really means is everyone in your workplace, the bars, the restaurants, the coffee shops, the stores, or anywhere else you frequent, everybody there knows your name. And the reason we want to do that is because you will always have that instant social proof anywhere you walk into. Now, one thing to be aware of is that the current alpha has probably been the leader for some time. So he's built up his social proof over a longer period of time than you have. But that doesn't make a difference because you're thinking smarter than he is. So it's still easy for you to overtake. So the next technique is to make sure people see you as equal value or higher value. So what you need to do is just pay attention to the things the alpha is doing that are giving him that social proof. So does he tell a lot of jokes or a lot of funny stories? Whatever it is, just look for it and you'll see it. And then what you need to do is next time when he uses one of these social proof techniques, you need to be ready and waiting to retaliate with a social proof technique of your own. Now, a perfect technique that will completely blow him out of the water is going to be one of the hypnosis techniques. So imagine the next time the alpha is using some kind of social proof technique, and he doesn't even know he's doing it. But imagine you say to him, hey, you know what? I've got a good one. I bet you $100 that I can guess the exact amount of money you have in your wallet down to the very last cent. Now, of course, the alpha is going to take that bet, because what are the chances of you guessing the exact amount of money that he has in your wallet? But what he doesn't realize is what you've actually done is half an hour ago, you put him into trance using a handshake induction, and then you got him to give you his wallet. You counted how much money he had, and then you gave his wallet back to him, and then you gave him amnesia for the whole thing, so he had no idea what just happened. So actually, you know exactly how much money he has. So all you need to do is act like you're reading his mind. You can use it as social proof, and the alpha will be completely blown out. I mean, what are the chances that he can possibly beat that? And people won't have a clue how you're doing it. They will beg you to tell them how. But of course you never do, as these techniques are so much more powerful when you keep them a secret and you use them covertly. Now, if you use social proof techniques the right way, then you will easily become the alpha. But if you go about it the wrong way, then you will look like you're trying too hard and you will lose. So the way to not look like you're trying too hard is to only use these techniques once. So even if you've got people saying, come on, show us how to do it, show us something else, then the best reply you can give is, listen, I've shown you a couple of cool things, why don't you guys teach me something? So just keep that in mind anytime the alpha does some kind of social proof technique by accident. Because remember, he doesn't know what he's doing. So if he's telling a funny story or he's telling a joke, then you need to retaliate with a story of your own or a joke or some kind of DHV. Okay, so right now I want to give you a DHV that you can use. And this is fun. And I want you to write this down so you can start using this right now today. Okay, so take a pen and paper. Now what I want you to do is think of your favorite animal and write it down. Now describe that animal in 3 words. Okay, next I want you to think of your favorite color. Write that down. Okay, now describe that color in 3 words. Okay, now I want you to think of your favorite body of water. And by body of water, it could be a lake, a river, a waterfall, a sea, whatever you want. Okay? Now write down 3 words that describe your favorite body of water. And the last thing I'm going to ask you to do is imagine you're in a white room and it has no windows or no doors. Now write down 3 emotions that you feel. Okay, so that was it, and hopefully you've taken the time to write down your answers. And if you haven't, then take the time to do that right now before I tell you exactly what each one means. Alright, so the first one was your favorite animal. And the 3 answers that you gave that describe your animal, that's how you believe others see you. So if you wrote down the word dog and you describe dog as friendly, loyal, and happy, then that's how you believe other people see you. If you describe a dog as shy, lazy, and sad, then again, that's how you believe other people see you. The next one was the color. And whatever your answers were describes how you see yourself. So if your color was purple and you describe it as warm, relaxing, and interesting, then that is how you see yourself. The next one, which was describe your favorite body of water. So let's say you described a waterfall and you describe it as magical, mysterious, and sensual. Then that's actually how you view sex. So you view sex as magical, mysterious, and sensual, which makes sense, right? And the last one was imagine yourself in a white room and state 3 emotions you feel. So let's say you said your emotions that you feel were fear, loneliness, and peacefulness. Then that's actually how you describe death. Okay, so that was it. That was the DHV that I wanted to give you. And I don't know if it's actually based on fact and if the things you describe actually mean the things they're supposed to represent. But the point is that it doesn't matter because all it's meant to be is just a little tactic which allows you to lead the interaction. So you should definitely use it. And just keep in mind that all you need is these kind of intriguing stories or little games which make it so that you are the person who's bringing the fun in any interaction. And if you really want to bring out the big guns and completely take over the group, then you can use the hypnosis techniques that I told you about. And as well as that, if the alpha is telling a story about a time that he did something adventurous, for example, he went skydiving or something else, then you need to step up and let everybody else know that you've done something either the same or something similar. But of course, you don't want to make it look like you're bragging. So you can just step up and say, yeah, I went skydiving for my buddy's birthday last year. I'm telling you, man, I didn't want to jump out of that plane, but when I did, it was so amazing. It was such an amazing feeling. So again, what you're doing is you're agreeing with him, and then you're adding your own input. Or if you haven't been skydiving or whatever it is the Alpha is talking about, then you can just say, no, I've never been, but I always wanted to. But one thing I did do that was really amazing was I went shark diving once. Or you can just say whatever it is you've done with your life. Because the main point here is that any time when the Alpha demonstrates value, then you need to build your value too. And you can actually write out what you want to say and you can memorize it. So you can literally write a script for yourself so that you can use it in different situations to let you dominate. And as I said before, we call this DHV stories. So that's demonstrations of higher value stories. So they're stories about your life, which when you tell them, they demonstrate higher value because the story itself contains spikes of value. It shows that you're an interesting person who lives their life and enjoys the things in life. So if you're telling a story about skydiving, then the value spike that you're conveying is not so much the fact that you went skydiving, even though it's cool, but the value spike is actually the fact that you're the kind of person who likes to get out there, live your life, and you're not afraid to take a risk and have an adventure. And this is actually a stark contrast to the way most people live their lives, which is just sit around, watch TV, and do the same mundane, boring thing that 99% of people do most of the time. One thing I will say is that if you do decide to write a script for your DHV stories, then I don't recommend learning a script word for word. You can just learn the themes and then leave yourself room to improvise. So don't worry, you don't need to learn these things word for word. Alright, so back to stealing the Alpha's authority in your social situation or your workplace. What you need to do is engineer a situation where you're actually hijacking the Alpha's top betas. So remember before when we used the guilt by association technique and you befriended the Alpha's number one and number two betas? Well, now you're going to actually steal them away from him so they will become your betas, so that you've always got them by your side and they're your instant allies. So once you've done that, once you have the number one, number two betas as your allies, you should have engineered a situation where the order of authority looks like this. Number one, you've got the current Alpha. Number two, you've got you, aka the Alpha's go-to guy. Number three, you've got the Alpha's previous number one beta. Number four, you've got the Alpha's previous number two beta. But of course now, they're your betas. And it's pretty easy to steal the Alpha's betas. All you have to do is use the same techniques that you've been using to make the Alpha like you. And instead, just make the Alpha's betas like you and trust you. And treat them a little bit better than the Alpha does. But remember, this whole authority hijack is easy because you're using advanced social engineering techniques and the Alpha has no idea how he became the Alpha in the first place, whereas you know exactly what he did. So once you've stolen the Alpha's number one and number two betas, you will always have two allies by your side, which is exactly what you need when you're using the techniques we're about to get into that will covertly lower the Alpha's social status. So if you're busting the Alpha's balls or making him look beta in any way, then you always have two people who are laughing with you, and they're laughing at the Alpha with you, instead of how it was before when everybody was laughing with the Alpha. Because before, when it was the Alpha and his betas versus you and yourself, it was easy to tool you and bust your balls. But now it's you and your two betas versus the Alpha, so he's going to have a much harder time trying to make you look beta. So you want to make sure you treat your new betas as your buddies, because that's what they are. They are your best friends, and they're your wingmen. Because when you're doing the authority hijack, there's nothing you need more than a couple of good wingmen by your side. A good wingman will do anything for you, because he's your buddy and he knows no bounds. A good wingman will praise you and say things to the group to raise your social value. And when you're doing the authority hijack, going in with a good wing or two good wings is going to give you more confidence because you've always got someone who's got your back. If possible, if one of the betas or both of the betas have been your friends for a long time, then you're already 90% of the way there to getting them to be your allies instead of the alphas. So just be good to your betas and they'll be good to you. So by that, what I mean is always have something positive to say about your betas instead of the way the current alpha probably treats them, which is putting them down all the time. So if you're meeting someone new, then always introduce your betas and say something positive about them. So you could say, hey, this is my buddy John. He's the guy who invented the iPod or anything like that. Now, one thing I will say is never, and I repeat, never treat your betas the same way that the current alpha treats them. If you do, then you will no longer have them as your betas, and they will go straight back to the current alpha. So this technique is called busting the alpha's balls. So if someone else tells a joke And the alpha doesn't laugh because he's trying to subcommunicate that it wasn't funny, and he's trying to make other people agree with him that it wasn't funny. And if you genuinely found the joke funny, then you should laugh at the joke. And at this point, you want to turn to the alpha and say, "Oh man, come on, what's wrong? What, you didn't get that joke or what?" But at the same time, you want to laugh about it. Just make it look like you're messing around, like you're having a good time, which of course you are. And this is what's going to let that shift come forward, where people start to see you as being more dominant than the current alpha. When you're not afraid to put the alpha down and bust his balls. Because usually, people are sucking up to this guy, as were you at one point, just when you were starting to become the alpha's go-to guy. But now you're putting the alpha in his place, and you're demonstrating value through social proof techniques, and there's going to be a major shift in power. Because when you're busting the alpha's balls, he's about to become really defensive. And by doing that, he's sub-communicating that he's playing the role of a beta, not the alpha anymore. So he's going to say, yeah, I got it, but I just didn't think it was funny. And then you can say, oh yeah, okay man, of course you got it, of course you did. And then when you say that, just cock your right hand and slug him in the shoulder or smash a friendly elbow into his chest. Look at everybody else and make sure they know that you're just out there trying to make fun of him. Then at this point, maybe the alpha will start touching you, trying to put his hand on your shoulder or something similar to show dominance. And then you can say something like, whoa, hey, come on, slow down, cowboy. I'm known to guys, man. The gay club's over that way. Hands off the merchandise, buddy. Then everybody will see you just messing around with the alpha and they'll laugh. But the alpha will start trying to qualify himself by saying he's not gay. And the whole time you can be busting his balls saying, yeah, okay man, get back to the closet, okay, whatever you say, buddy. And all of this works with the right body language. You don't want to make it seem like you really mean the things you're saying. When you say these lines, you want to have a big smile on your face. And if you can, elbow him hard in the chest or slap him on the back hard enough to make him spit up his drink. But the whole thing has to be done under the guise of being friendly. And then tell him, okay man, I'm sorry, listen, I was just fooling around. And then act as if you're going to shake his hand, but as he goes to shake your hand, pull away last minute. So what you're doing is you're just tooling this guy constantly. Now around this time, the alpha is either going to submit to you, and people will subconsciously see that you've hijacked his authority, and you are the new alpha. Or the current alpha is going to try and remain dominant, and he might do something like try and get in your face. If he does, all you need to do is remain unreactive. Do not respond. Just stand there. Don't say anything. If he keeps trying to out-alpha you and you don't answer, eventually he looks beta because he's trying too hard to get your attention. And you're making him seem like he's trying too hard to impress people. And now you understand how all this works. If you look for it, you will see this is exactly the kind of thing that the alpha does to other people to try and maintain his position as the leader. And you can use the alpha's work for yourself. What you need to do is know more about the alpha than he knows about himself, and then turn his own words and his own mannerisms against him. And I've seen this in all kinds of situations, because a lot of the stuff you're learning is backwards engineered. So the next time the alpha tries to use the same alpha technique of busting your balls, instead of reacting, what you need to do is use a reflector, which will let you easily maintain the power. So the way a reflector works is anytime the alpha tries to bust your balls, anything he says, what you need to do is just agree with it and then laugh about it and exaggerate it, whatever it is he's busting your balls about. Because if you can laugh about it and you don't buy into the alpha's frame, then you're being unreactive and you're maintaining your power. And this will make people see you as the leader. They will see you as the controller. People will start to see you as the person who everybody else should turn to. Alright, so by now you should be seeing that people are looking to you as the alpha, or at the very least, they see you as someone who's equal value to the alpha. But if you're still not quite there yet, then you can use the three black box techniques that'll get the job done. So the three black box techniques are only to be used if you're having a hard time hijacking the alpha's authority, because these three techniques are that effective. Okay, so the first one is the mind divider technique. This technique is going to help you lower the value of the alpha, and it works by controlling people's opinions of him based on completely irrational stuff. Now, the way this technique came about was I actually saw it being used by one of the most alpha guys I've ever met. And this was years ago, before I even understood how social dynamics work. So at the time, I didn't think anything of it, but looking back now, it makes complete sense why it would work the way it did. So first of all, what I want you to do is just listen to these names. The first group of names is Jesus, Martin Luther King, and Abraham Lincoln. Okay, so that's the first group of names I'm going to listen to. The second group of names is Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Saddam Hussein. So, just notice, as soon as I tell you these two groups of people, you have certain ideas and feelings which come to mind. The first group of names are all anchored in our minds as generally being known as good people, or people who, in their lifetime, have done good things to help other people. So when you think about the second group of names, these people are generally anchored in our minds as being bad people, or people who have done things to others which are generally bad things. Okay, so now let me add two more groups of people to the equation. Group 1. James Bond. Frank Sinatra. George Clooney. And Group 2. Napoleon Dynamite. McLovin from Superbad. The Shermanator from American Pie. Okay, so take those three names from the first group and realize what kind of feelings and ideas come into your head. And then think about the second group of names. So the first group of people are generally associated with being cool, suave individuals. And the second group are generally thought of as being uncool and geeky. Now, obviously, the examples I'm giving you are way blown out of proportion. But I just wanted to give you some examples so you can get this idea of what we're doing here. So the way the mind divider technique works is you can easily lower the alpha's social status by making people associate him with bad stuff or bad people, or people who are considered to have a lower social status than themselves. So the way you can make people associate the alpha with bad stuff, bad people, or people with lower value is by making small comments. So if the alpha is dictating, saying, listen, you do this, you do that, all you need to do is make a small comment and say, you know, you're beginning to sound a lot like Hitler. And then when you want to step it up again and really use the mind divider technique, you can use it in the same way I saw it used years ago by the alpha that I was telling you about. And the way he did it was to nickname people. So he would give a nickname to certain people. And because he was the alpha and he was the one given the nickname and everybody else would always follow him, then the nickname would always stick. So that's one point to make here, guys, and that is that you can only use this part of the mind divider technique once you're already up there and people are seeing your perceived value as either equal to or slightly above the current alphas. Plus, you also need to be sure you have your two betas by your side when you nickname the alpha, because then it's more likely that the nickname will stick. Okay, so what I've found is that these are the three steps you need to make to make sure that it will work properly. The first step is to find a character from either a film or a TV show who is not that cool. Maybe they're nerdy or maybe they're offensive to women. Could be anything. Just make sure they're not that cool. The next step is to give the alpha the nickname when you're in front of other people so that the nickname sticks and people know that you've given it to the alpha. And the last step is to only give it to the alpha when you are sure at that point in time people are looking to you as the leader. So a perfect time would be if you've just busted the alpha's balls and he's become defensive, so he's then lowered his value. And then you can say, hey, you know who you remind me of? You remind me of Dwight Schrute from The Office. I'm going to call you Dwight from now on. And then you go on and you laugh about it because you are currently the alpha and you're in the alpha position, so people will laugh with you. And in case you don't know, Dwight Schrute, he's a character from The American Office who has no social skills or common sense. So if you can get people to associate the alpha with someone who has no social skills or common sense, then of course you are about to see him lose his social status. Now the last step is the next time, whenever he lowers his value or is being obnoxious or disrespectful, then you call him the nickname again. So you can just say, oh, here comes Dwight Schrute. And just laugh about it. So the whole time, it just looks like you're joking around, having fun. And if you need to, you can say, hey man, I'm just messing around. You can take a joke on you. And then you've just got to mess with him a little bit. Because this guy is used to everybody kissing his ass. So, you know, when you're putting him in this beta position, then people are going to follow you because you are now in the alpha position. Alright, so the second black box technique I want to give you is negs. Now, a neg is short for a negative compliment. A good example of a negative compliment would be, hey, it's a pretty cool t-shirt, man, but looks exactly like the one you wore yesterday. So what you're doing is you're giving them a compliment, and then you're saying, but, and then you're taking the compliment away by making them feel self-conscious about something. So another example might be, you know what, I've always thought your hair was pretty cool, but I've got to be honest, you would look a lot better without those 70s style sideburns you're wearing, man. So can you see how these work? You're basically just making them a little bit unsure about themselves. And it also makes them look slightly beta in front of other people. And it also raises your value, because if you weren't a high value person, you would never point out the fact that the alpha has a flaw or some kind of thing that's wrong with them. So by saying he has giant 70s style sideburns, you're basically saying that he's out of style, and you can use this on anything he's wearing or the way he looks, but you always need to do it with a smile and in a jokey kind of way, which makes him wonder if you're being serious or not. But the point is, just cut him down on whatever limited amount of knowledge you have of him, even if it's not relevant, because this will make him feel uncomfortable and his body language will show it. And I want to give you a few more examples, and some of them are better suited for girls and some of them are better suited for guys, and a few of them it doesn't matter who you use them on. But the bottom line is, these are just examples, and you can use them if you want, or you can use them as a framework to come up with your own. Okay, so the first one. Oh my god, I never realized how much your hair looks like you're wearing a wig. Okay, and the next one, which is primarily for women, and all you need to say is, I think your hair would look a lot better if it was down. So that's if they're wearing their hair up. And of course, if they already have their hair down, you could say, I think your hair would look a lot better if you wore it up. Simple as that. The idea is just to make them a little bit self-conscious. The next one is, what's going on with your hair? Is that a mullet? Now, of course, you don't have to add the mullet bit, but if their hairstyle is in any way similar to a mullet, then why not throw that in for effect? Another one which is nice and simple is, you have eye crusties. And along the same lines as the last one, when the alpha is in close proximity and they're talking to you, all you say is these six words. Have you cleaned your teeth today? That's all you need to say, and the alpha will immediately become defensive. That's even more powerful when you can say it in front of other people, because the alpha will immediately look beta to you. Another one that you can use on both guys and girls is, I never realized how feminine your hands are. So obviously you say that to a guy, and to a girl you would say, I never realized how manly your hands are. The next one is, don't you ever cut your nails? So obviously this one is primarily said to a guy, as a lot of women grow their nails anyway, and it's a feminine thing to do. But if you want to modify that one and use it on a girl, if you happen to notice that they have dirt under their fingernails, you could say, don't you ever clean under your nails? And the last one that I'm going to give you right now is, while they're talking, you say, I never realized that you blink so much when you talk. So those are just a few negative compliments for you to use, just to get you started. And remember, these are just examples. The point is to cut the alpha down on whatever limited amount of knowledge you have on them, even if it's not relevant, because all we're trying to do is make the alpha feel uncomfortable so that their body language shows it. Another thing you can do is neutralize the alpha's techniques. And what you need to do first is become aware of what he's doing to maintain his position as the alpha. So to take one example I gave you earlier, a lot of alphas will deliberately not laugh at someone's joke to try and make it look like the joke wasn't funny, and then no one else laughs. And so the person who told the joke ends up feeling embarrassed and looking beta. So to neutralize the alpha's techniques in case he ever tries to do this to you, you can just say to everybody else when the alpha's not around, you know, I realized something about the alpha the other day, and the thing I realized was that sometimes, even if someone tells a joke and it's funny, the alpha will deliberately not laugh and try and make you feel embarrassed that he didn't laugh at your joke. So, I don't know, what I would say is just try and humor him about it, because I think that guy needs help. So can you see how the authority hijack has panned out? Can you see the changes which have taken place? Before, the alpha was the king in any social situation, and everybody looked up to him. But then you were his go-to guy, you were his right-hand man, but now you're busting his balls and you have allies of your own who are assisting you in replacing the alpha. So when you're nicknaming the alpha, you can look to your allies and wink at them so that the alpha can't see it, so that your allies play along. You can encourage them to use the nickname and say, he acts like Dwight Schrute, doesn't he? Doesn't he remind you of Dwight Schrute? And because they are your allies, they will agree with you. And this will really put the alpha into a beta position. So can you see how powerful the authority hijack is? What we're doing here is taking you from zero to hero in a matter of weeks. So maybe right now you've never even spoken to the current alpha in your workplace. But over the next few weeks, you can use all these techniques to make him like you. And then you can use the rapport techniques to make him see you as his go-to guy. And then once you're in line with him, you can use the takeover to knock him off his throne completely. You can take his place as the new alpha, and then you are the controller. Okay, so now at the end of the audio, so time's come for the homework assignments. So first thing I want you to do, just take a second to think about your workplace or your social circle. And what I want you to do is just identify the person who's taken on the role of the alpha. Now, if you're doing it for your workplace, then I'm not talking about your boss. As I said before, there will always be someone who stands up to the boss, who has the most creative ideas, and always seems to have the most respect from everyone else. So I just want you to identify this person, and I want you to covertly study them. Just take a mental note of what it is they do. And when you come home from the day, I want you to make a journal and write down the things that he or she is doing to maintain the position of the alpha. The second thing that I want you to do for your homework assignment is to just go through this audio one more time and to start to implement some of the ideas that we've talked about. Don't be afraid to take up space when you sit down. When you speak, really project your voice. Assume high value, those kind of things. And once you start doing these things consciously, within a few weeks, they will become part of who you are and it will be an unconscious process. And the last thing that I want you to do is to write down in your journal the things that didn't go the way you wanted them to go throughout the day. Write down anything that went wrong, and then write down how you would like to deal with the situation if you could go back and change things. All right, so that's it. That's your homework for this section. And I really want you to do these things, and I promise you that they will help you get the skills if you actually go out there and implement this stuff I'm teaching you.